This episode of Eclipse on Tap is brought to you by Underberg, the German herbal digestive that is a very special after-dinner drink and served in more than 100 countries as a crowning finale to gourmet meals or hearty snacks. But what about after a flight of sour beers?
Or stouts.
Or stouts or bold beers. If you're looking for something after a large meal, maybe it's a festive meal, maybe it's 4th of July grilling, you're feeling a little bloated and a little groggy, grab an Underberg to feel bright and alert.
I'm going to grab one right now.
Yes, sir. Cheers. Welcome back to Eclipse on Tap, the podcast where we talk about eclipses of all kinds and space in general.
Crack that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Episode technically 74. We've never done episodes in this quick of a succession before, with the exception of Falcon Heavy, I think, David. That was the one time when we did, we were like, oh, but damn, we got to record again.
Yeah.
But well, let's call it episode 74. Keep them rolling. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be always on month to month.
But sitting here at the eve of totality.
The eve, folks. Penultimate day. Yeah.
Where are we at? T-minus, it's 9:35 local time. 3:11 we're getting totality?
309 here.
309. Yep. So what? 18 hours?
Yeah.
1:51, I think, is the first contact as well. So we'll have the show will start at 1:50.
Yeah.
We'll have a couple hours to set up. It'll be good.
Yeah, yeah. 2 hours and 32 minutes of eclipse total, right? From the very first contact to the last contact.
Are we carrying this episode from now? Or are we going to splice together tomorrow's events?
Yeah, we very well could.
Okay. Are we going to do 74, 75?
It kind of depends on what we accomplish. But we're here with Bay.
How's your whiskey, Bay?
Yeah, Bay, tell us.
I like it. A little Tugatuli.
A little Tugatuli. Nothing quite like a Tugatuli.
You know, I noticed over your shoulder is the Total Eclipse Moonshine, Bay.
Yeah.
It's in the house.
Total Eclipse Moonshine. That's from 2017.
Aged 7 years.
Did we move it from the edge of the counter?
Yeah. It's a bad spot. The KC Jones Distillery Moonshine.
So we're going to break that out tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow, I think.
God bless us.
Right after totality.
Yeah. Or during.
Or during, yeah. With the lead up. Last time we only had a pint. That's a fifth. Yeah.
That's a full fifth. Yeah.
So it's going to be split amongst many, I think.
Because how did you come across this one then?
This one I acquired in Kentucky as well, but not.
We're at a dry campsite.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be discreet with our moonshine. But that's actually a good point because it brings us to where we are right now, which is inside of the Mobile Totality Base EOT Totality Tour Cruise America RV.
The Battlescar Galactica.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. The Motel 6 on wheels, as we're calling it, because it's
been ridden hard.
Yep. Steering's a little loose.
Might want to wear a sleeping bag to bed.
Yeah.
You know, that kind
protect yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But steering's quite loose. Brakes are
a little spongy.
And when you rip the wheel all the way to the left, it kind of sounds like the drive shaft's going to fall out. Or the steering column is going to fall out. But we're here.
Could you hear it on the outside of the bus?
No.
At the other campsite? Oh. Like when we were leaving and I was backing up and you went to guide me. And I went to crank it to the right to like get out of the campsite that we were in. Like we were in the car and I was like.
Starving for steering fluid.
This episode not sponsored by Cruise America. Oh man, but yeah, we're here.
It's been a lot of fun. The camper has been a lot of fun. Good camaraderie in here.
Yeah,
and it's also last night we were talking like we should definitely do this for NASCAR for our annular eclipse to NASCAR because it is a. It's mobile home on wheels.
Nice use of eclipse annular, lingo.
Did you just say our annular eclipse to NASCAR?
Annular.
I like it. You're using the eclipse
or
lingo.
Annual.
Annular.
Okay.
Don't question me.
This is your you're geeked for the DR. Eclipse. Using eclipse in everyday language is it's a skill.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean.
So we eclipsed across the border into Ohio yesterday. That's a stupid segue.
Got very lucky finding these two campsites.
We did. To bring everyone up to speed, we were in Northwest Ohio last night.
southeast of Toledo a bit, if you're familiar with that area of the country. And we were in Perrysburg, Ohio for the night. Really had to make a game time choice whether we were going to continue on to, as we know, nothing is guaranteed with weather, but to what we see as more of a guaranteed sun, which is in almost exclusively Maine, or do we stay local to the Midwest where there is certainly openings? There's plenty of opportunity for totality, and it allows us to bounce around.
Well, and, yeah, I mean, even if we had kept going, our destination was going to change, because initially we said Burlington, Vermont, right, and that's now cloudy.
Yeah, exactly.
There's, so we would have had to continue on to Portland, Maine, or
yeah, Caribou,
Bahaba.
Maine.
Yeah, we would have been Bahaba. It would have been a long hike.
Yeah,
but who knows? I mean, that's the trouble is that, like, for the last 7 years we've been talking about Texas being the number one spot, and yeah, then
it's not.
You know,
it's like the polar opposite.
Yeah, this week it's been terrible.
Yeah, Texas, poor Texas, is getting lots of storms, big rain. It's not even just cloudy where you could see the eclipse. Maybe it's like full-blown rainstorms, so that's just really unfortunate for those in the Texas region. But hopefully you're able to get yourself into the path of totality, into a spot that is looking good. So we ended up coming to the central Indiana spot, about 45 minutes east of Indianapolis in New Castle, Indiana, and stumbled upon some lucky sites.
Huge shout out to the Cornerstone Campground. David's got the t-shirt on.
Yes, Cornerstone Campground in New Castle, Indiana.
Yes.
I never thought.
What size is that day, R?
It's an XL.
You wear it well.
Yeah, thank you.
Over top the T, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a cool shirt.
Yeah, I mean, I thought support the campground and also get a little souvenir.
Last time
we were at the eclipse in Hopkinsville, we got the really cool glow-in-the-dark ones, mm-hmm, which, ironically, that's a small and it does not fit me anymore.
Yeah.
It never really did fit me.
No, but nor did mine.
It's cool.
I will absolutely be buying one of those tomorrow as well. I mean, it's just a token, like a thing you take, a souvenir. Even if you never wear it, you have it to pull out.
Yeah.
Years from now.
At some point, I'll be big enough to fill it in. So, you know.
Look to your left.
Keep eating those cookies.
At some point, I'll have an awning on me. So.
You can't help it.
But we really did get lucky, didn't we? Like, I mean, so we called on the way down. We stopped in Wapakoneta, Ohio.
That was a big event today.
Huge event to see the birthplace of Neil Armstrong, of course, absolute legend in space travel, and quite an impressive museum, I thought.
That was cool. A lot of cool memorabilia there.
Yeah.
David got some goodies.
Got some patches.
Yeah. Can you tell us what you got, D-Will?
So I got a couple patches actually to bring home. So I got an Apollo 17, three patches.
Mission patches.
A little bit.
Yeah, mission patches.
Mission patches. They had a whole like wall full of mission patches. It's all the way from like the beginning of the space program till present. And so I picked up Apollo 1, which is a great one because those guys are heroes, and
Roger B
is a hometown hero of mm-hmm. Grand Rapids, where we're from. I also got Apollo 8 and then Apollo 17. So Apollo 8, I already had an Apollo 8 one, but I had to replace it because I actually used the one that I, my first one, on a flight jacket for Halloween, for my Halloween costume.
Yeah, that was a great costume. Worth it.
So I did that, and then I also got...
ended up getting stained a little bit.
No, it's still good, still intact there. So, I got a couple of pins too. I got Apollo 13 pin and an Apollo 8 pin. So yeah,
good
paycheck paying forward. You know,
mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah, so it was a good trip there, and plenty of cool stuff to look at too. I mean, it was definitely like that Smithsonian type feel.
Yeah,
when you went there. So
you a couple of big ones that we had is Jim Lovell's undergarment from what Apollo was that? Did you read the sign? I didn't read the sign, but it was like his undergarment. So it's what they wear under the spacesuit. It's like long johns.
I took a photo of it, but I don't know.
Constant wear.
Yeah, like their constant wear.
Yeah.
There's a moon rock there. That was another big one.
Mm-hmm.
We had was it a Mercury or a Gemini capsule?
It was a Gemini 8.
Gemini capsule.
Yep. Which was the one Armstrong was in.
Yep. Yeah.
Armstrong and David Scott in their infamous, or famous, not infamous, very incredible story, which was featured in First Man on... Is that what the movie's called?
First Man.
Yeah. First Man, the scene in First Man when they're doing the rendezvous with the...
Agena.
Yeah, I think earlier we were saying Athena. I got it wrong. That's an incredible scene. We were talking about it at the museum when we were looking at that capsule. Can you imagine not only being in it, right? We were saying how tight it is.
It's tiny.
But the moment it's going out, you know, in that mission, spinning crazy out of control, David Scott to your right just passes out. And then you're Neil Armstrong in there essentially by yourself.
Pretty much in a centrifuge.
Yeah, in a centrifuge spinning at insane speeds.
No.
Your co-pilot has passed out and you're just like, I guess this is on me. Like, yeah. And it's nothing against David Scott, right?
That no.
Just his physiology, yeah. He passed out. And Neil was able to correct it and get back and then go on to go in the Apollo 11.
Figured out what was going on. And I think he used the retros that are actually on the nose of that. So,
yeah.
When I looked in that thing, all I could think was being Neil Armstrong, climbing in that and thinking to yourself, I might die in this little peanut capsule. Because there's nothing to it. I mean, it is skin and bones, and then to lose control of it.
Speaking of control, can you imagine having to take a dump sitting with a guy two and a half feet to your left and another guy 2.5 feet to your right if you're sitting on the left seat? And, oh, by the way, I got to take a dump.
We're packed in here pretty tight, but yeah. I'm not worried about anybody taking a dump.
At least in the Apollo, they could go down into the tunnel and, you know. Mm-hmm. Get away from the other two guys.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, like, during that mission, though, that they... I mean, how long were they actually up there for that mission? Was it a couple, couple days?
No. That was only a few hours.
Yeah. Right?
Because as soon as they rendezvoused with the Agena and it went out of control, they immediately released, and that's when it started spinning even worse, which David Scott passed out.
Yep.
And then Armstrong figured out what was going on and corrected it. Wow. And they were like, okay, you're coming down next orbit. You're coming down like right now. So the whole thing was only like 3 hours.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible that he was able to make that work himself and just figure it out, go on to do many
right
other
there.
Big things. So it was, it was a special, milestone on the trip for this totality tour to be able to have, you know, there was no guarantee. It's not like we like built that into the trip. Like that just happened to be in the general vicinity of kind of where we've been.
We had to make a stop as soon as it was like, okay, we're backtracking a little bit west, and on the way is Wapakoneta.
Yeah,
we're going.
Yeah, they had a moon rock. They had one of Gene Cernan's flight suits as well. I don't know what suit that was. Did you guys get it?
I didn't see. I saw it, but I didn't. I don't remember which mission it was from.
Yeah. Quite a few cool things there, but
really cool.
It is pretty cool too. Like we talk about the size of the Gemini capsule, but it the Smithsonian, they have the actual Apollo 11 capsule. And when you first walk in through the front doors, the first thing you see is the Apollo 11 capsule. And it's crazy how small the Apollo capsules actually were too. When you look at them up close like that, like a real one. So, I mean, Gemini, like there really isn't a ton of difference. Command module to a Gemini capsule, but
the 3 hours I think was when they rendezvoused with the Agena, but the whole mission was 10 hours, 41 minutes and 26 seconds
for Gemini 8. Yeah,
yeah. Due to the miracle of the internet nowadays, you don't have to dig out the World Book encyclopedias.
Yep, for sure. It was cool to see they had the not like the Guinness World Records by any means, but it was like the aeronautic record. It's based in, I think, France. It looked like it was all in French, but like all the record keeping for all the scientific stuff. So it was like, you know, inscribed this certificate to Neil Armstrong, because he was the like largest mass on the moon, or, you know, like stuff like that, or longest lunar walk and all these things, these records that were set as a result of Apollo 11. So all of those were on display too. I don't know if you saw those, that wall of certificates. That was pretty cool.
And going back to the beginning of the program, there were, I think there were 4 or 5 maybe astronauts from Ohio that were on that wall commemorating the astronauts that were from Ohio.
Yeah, there was many.
So were the Wright brothers.
That true.
Yeah, there was a lot of, like that era. And then there was more recent Ohio astronauts. There was tons. It was like definitely a state where aviation has always been a part of its genetics in a way, if a state can have that. It's pretty cool. So on to Newcastle we went. And Newcastle we'll hopefully stay. I mean, we're really excited about what the forecast looks like tomorrow as far as the journey back to like full clouds in the late afternoon. A lot of times they're talking these high clouds are wispy, so we're hoping for that. I mean, we'll be able to move if we need to, but I'm hoping Cornerstone Campground comes through for us.
I've got a really good feeling. Shout out to Dan and is it Cindy?
Dan and Cindy.
Owners?
I think
it's Dan and...
Dan, definitely. And I think you're right, Cindy.
I think it's Cindy.
Yeah, you're right.
Shout out to them. They've hosted they've got a prime location. So right out the back of the camper is a big meadow. We're calling it a meadow.
A meadow
Not
of sorts.
Not a field, a meadow. Where we will set up shop. We'll have the tent out there. They've had games going. Like they had some type of relay going when we came in for dinner. Putt-putt golf and basketball. And
in the meeting hall there, they probably had 100 people in there watching an astronomy telescope set up. How do you do this? How do you do that? And somebody explaining how the whole thing works.
That was really cool. That's cool that they did that. I applaud the folks that, because I think when I called Dan, again, on a whim, it was very lucky that we got these two sites. But he had mentioned that. Oh yeah, there's somebody here that has a big telescope, so they like asked us if we could give a talk. Yeah, it's not that big, but I do applaud them for doing it because at this moment I'm too excited to like do that kind of stuff. I love talking to other people, but to set aside and be like, okay, the day before the eclipse, when I want to just be here and geek out, I have to kind of like go do this thing.
The thing with that though too is they got 100 people sitting in there listening to that because most people don't have a telescope at home.
Right.
You know, whether it's a small one, a big one, whatever, they just, you know, you see a telescope and you go, oh, that's how those work.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is similar to what we did when we went to Schuller's that one time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, the GR Astronomy Club
doing like a thing. Telescope 101 / Space 101. Yeah, it is cool. It was jam-packed in there, though. There was probably 100 people in there, which was impressive. So quite a few folks here. We were talking to some fellow campers who the woman is an astronomy professor at Ball State University, and she is here. So that made us feel, it was a validating feeling, I think, to know that there are other, you know, people very interested in this event, know exactly what it is, know what it takes to get to see one, and they're here. So that's good. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
And we'll just continue to hope for the best on the patterns. But the good news is, too, like the pocket exists, like I said earlier, like totality will happen, and if it's 20 miles north of here or something, like okay, we'll go, but hopefully we're in a really good spot. I feel good about it, like you said, Nathan, I have the faith that it's going to be a fantastic day, one that we won't forget, obviously.
Oh yeah,
no, it's 2017 isn't it?
It's already been a good trip. I mean,
yeah
tomorrow's gonna be the icing on the cake
for sure.
Yeah,
but
all right, bae.
Yeah,
it should be pretty good, Nighty.
Nathan.
I think the RV has been really clutch.
Oh, I like.
Oh, like you guys were saying.
I haven't looked back.
At NASCAR would be a ball. Took one of these out to Watkins Glen a couple of times, and that was really fun.
Well, in front of the podcast, Dr. Gordon Telepin, he went. His A plan was Austin. His backup was somewhere in Missouri.
Yeah, he just said Missouri.
Yeah. Somewhere in Missouri, and he's got 20 people with him, and he was not feeling confident about tomorrow.
Yeah, this was a few days ago.
We were just kind of like, all right, well, I guess we'll just go wherever we need to go, and lo and behold, that wasn't too far from home.
Yeah, it's like mobility seems to be the... It's like if you're making... If you have the ability to go to an eclipse, whether this one or the future... to be mobile, the mobility, to have the ability to be the mobility.
So for the next one, you guys are going to have a chairlift to get in and out of the motorhome for me because I'll be 95.
You're going to be in the... We're going to get one of those motorhomes that has the... What do they call it? The toy container?
The toy hauler. You're going to wheel out your...
Yeah, and we're just going to haul you
roll
in
out
and
the
out.
Back.
You can sleep in the toy hauler.
Yeah.
It's your turn to feed B his milk.
Who's on diaper duty?
He drinks it from a saucer now.
he laps it up like a little kitten.
We were talking about the Gemini capsule in the Eugenia, and I just want to go ahead and nickname this camper the Eugenia because we're talking about how thin and there's really nothing to it. Well, I think that basically sums up this Cruise America camper that got us here.
Hopefully it doesn't go out of control.
Don't talk shit about it. It's a good home for us. It's talk shit about it.
I'm not. Here. I'm complimenting it because there's history behind that statement I just made. So
yeah it is what it is. It is a perfect little capsule to have taken us to Newcastle, Indiana, where we are now. So I'm pumped. We were talking with Gary and Teresa, who are in tow with us as far as their RV. We've been traveling as a caravan, and they're here with their son, Flash.
Flash is really excited.
He's very excited.
It was nice to see him today in the museum being excited, seeing, stuff that to him, even to you guys, is just historic stuff. You never were around for those launches back then, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good feeling. It's been a great trip, really all angles. And we'll hope it just wraps out tomorrow in the best possible way. Mm-hmm. Because the weather is just, you never know. I mean, it's just one of those things. We've recognized that in 2017, we were very fortunate and lucky. The weather was patchy that year. It was splotchy. Patchy and not splotchy, right? It was very like honed. Oh, there's a storm in Jefferson City. There's a storm clouds in Carbondale, but Hopkinsville is clear. And it was clear all week leading up or something. We got lucky in that regard with 2017, and this has been more of a true test of eclipse chasing at its core, really tracking the weather, analyzing cloud cover, and finding the right spot.
Being nimble.
But yeah, it's like I will never forget Hopkinsville. Mm-hmm. 2017. It was the best.
It was. It was a special, special place,
Hopkinsville. And now you get totality twice as long.
And now you get it twice as long.
Yeah, and I mean, Cornerstone Campground might be the new place that you look back on and say, holy shit, we went to Ohio, we backtracked to Indiana, we ended up at Cornerstone Campground.
Yep.
And this iconic little setting, mm-hmm, with our little field behind us, our meadow behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be looking back on this trip for a long time too.
That was better than Dentures in an hour.
Oh yeah, and like being prepared to drive today 15 hours out to Maine, like if we needed to, and then settling on. I mean, it was a heated morning where we were like, where do we go? Do we go? Yeah. Do we keep going northeast? Do we stay put? Do we head to the southwest? And then making that call, all things coming together where you called this campground, and mm-hmm, here we are, and it looks real promising for tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. And that's exactly it, is the decision making, like we were saying too, at a certain point you end up overanalyzing it and it becomes frazzled. Like you just kind of frazzle your brain. Just like, I don't know.
Yeah, you get like uptight and you're like,
you just can't make a decision.
And the thing for us is, I mean, again, Dr. Gordon Telpin, he's got 20 people with him, so he's kind of making the call for all 20 people. For us, we all have a vote in it. And nobody wants to be the one that says, I feel like Burlington, Vermont is the spot.
Yeah.
And then we go there. Yeah, but I mean, you also don't want to be the guy that says, we have to go there, and then you go there and it's shitty.
Yeah.
Like, that was the challenge for us, too. Like, we had to kind of come to a unanimous
And Burlington's
decision.
A good example.
Hopefully it doesn't turn out to be shitty here.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I do feel better about here because we have the fluidity. If we need to go northeast or southwest to get in totality, we can do it from here.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you go to Maine, you're at the end of it. Like you can't get on a boat and
you're going to Greenland.
Yeah.
Or Nova Scotia.
Yeah, for sure. You're headed into Canada if you're going far that side of totality. So it becomes tricky for sure. And like early on, we were like, oh yeah, Burlington, Vermont is looking quite good. And then all of a sudden it's cloudy. Like it's going to be worse than it is here.
Yeah, it's like full clouds.
Full clouds. Yeah. In Burlington.
And really just yesterday, that looked like a really good spot.
It did. Things are changing.
Like this morning when we were overanalyzing it, I mean, it gets to the point where it's burdensome and it doesn't make it fun anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Then it starts getting like, you start getting ticked off and going, okay, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. So.
Definitely. You just get to that. You just get like at your kind of wit's end with it all. Yeah. You're just like, you hit a wall. Exactly.
Yeah.
So then you hit the wall, you take the deep breath, and you just go with what you feel like is
good. You know what? Wapakoneta is not far away. Let's go see Neil's Museum.
And get re-jazzed.
Yep.
Yeah. And it did. It did exactly that. It's like it takes you from being a little frazzled to going to see Neil Armstrong's birthplace in this awesome museum, and boom, you're right back on track with your...
We got Mickey D's.
We
got Mickey D's.
Had a couple smokes and a newspaper.
It just puts you back in action. So we've been posting a bunch of stuff on Instagram. Definitely check that out at Eclipse on Tap. We'll keep this one short as like a mini episode. Mm-hmm. Think of it as a...
We're going to have a lot
73.5, 74. We'll call it episode 74, a quick 30-minute teaser.
The teaser.
The final preview.
The final countdown.
I'm going to try to save this and post it tonight because I'm not going to have to edit it, right? It's already...
Yeah.
It's been a clean podcast in terms of just flow. We talked about our day, and that's what we set out to do. So follow us at Eclipse on Tap. Instagram and Facebook are kind of the two, seems like the best ways to track us. But we'll post on X as well. You can follow us on X and see updates for where we're going. I've had, you know, my good buddy Andy Versti, who's in Indianapolis at the Motor Speedway, texted me and he said, hey, you know, I know you guys are busy tomorrow morning with, but if you end up deciding, like, if you catch wind of something or something triggers you to go elsewhere, which we don't think is going to happen. We're hoping it isn't going to happen, but if it does, he's like, let me know. So, you know, people share this information and it's all good. Add Eclipse on Tap and listen to us on the podcast, Apple and Spotify.
Real quick, I got to give a couple shout outs too, because Mike Tekella.
Yeah, Mike Tekella,
team member.
EOT team rider.
He drove 1,800 miles out to Idaho. They were out there. Drove the 1,800 miles home. They've got a place out there, and then he's going to chase the eclipse. We also got Jordan Dikema, team member, and his wife Claire, and their son Brooks are 30 miles from us?
30 minutes from us.
Or 30 minutes from us, okay. Mm-hmm. But they're at another campsite in the greater Indianapolis area.
Metro Indy.
I just want to recognize these people because it's really cool that team members of ours are out traveling to see totality. Yeah.
Your fanaticism has rubbed off.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely, which is, it's a rewarding feeling. It's cool to see them and see them doing that, and I hope that they are able to, they will stand within the umbra of the moon regardless, but hopefully you get to see the show. And that's, I think, what's really cool and a great way to wrap out is knowing that regardless of what happens, the eclipse, it doesn't care. It's coming. It doesn't have anything to do with the clouds. It's going to plow its way through regardless. And just knowing that that's going to start in at 1:45, 1:50 tomorrow evening or tomorrow afternoon.
If you haven't done it yet, go out and clean out the toilet paper at the grocery stores. Get some water. Get some bread.
We got a nice toilet here at the campground that we're at.
Let's keep the one in the camper
fresh.
Yeah, we haven't... It hasn't quite been tainted, I guess.
If you've got time tonight as well, we're not live, but if you've got time tonight, listen to episode 2, 3.
Yeah.
We get Race Chaser around for the first time. First time reactions, like, from 2017.
Yeah, nearly 7 years ago.
Yeah, nearly 7 years ago that we experienced that and how pumped we were coming out of that. Oh, man.
One more shout out, Brian Obermeier, who was on episode, was it 71 or 2?
Yeah, pretty recently.
Yeah. He is up near Findlay, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So they went out. He's like, we're just going to go out mountain biking and, see what we can see tomorrow. So
yeah, it's great.
Kudos to all these people because I know a lot of people are coming off spring break, taking a little extra time off tomorrow to catch this is really cool to see that, you know, the influence that you guys, we've all had, you know, with enthusiasm about going to this.
Yeah. It is a rare and very awesome celestial event, and it's cool to see people recognizing how special it is.
One of my coworkers is in Franklin, just south of Indy.
Shout out to him. Right. Shout out to him.
Shout out to Brian Bacher.
Is he staying down
Brian
there?
Brian Bacher.
What's he going to do?
He is down there. He's got four cameras, all have drives.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Cool.
He's got something. He said he's going to start it at the very beginning and run it all the way through to the finality.
And I heard him tell you he just hits go and then it just does its thing.
It just does its thing.
That's very, very
clutch. That's going to be really cool.
That's very
pro. We should have him on.
He brought in a DSLR just in case. So
very cool. So that's...
We should have him on. We should try and get him on the podcast.
Oh, for sure.
I imagine that, you know, if this is episode 74, we'll do one tomorrow night, episode 75. We'll do a couple quick in succession just because why not? I would imagine episode 76, 7, 8, for a few months after, we're going to be bringing people on that were either at the eclipse with us or witnessed it. We can call them in. I imagine that's probably what those will be. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about it for months.
Yeah, unless unless aliens land during the eclipse, we're going to be talking about the eclipse and the eclipse only for the next few episodes.
For sure.
What was everybody's impression? And
yeah, the official EOTNN.
Yes.
When I was driving here today, like when I was behind the wheel of the Eugenia, and what was it that you were reading? Like in case of other events.
There was a post. Actually, on the news, a woman being interviewed, like from FEMA, saying, make sure you've got an emergency action plan. Make sure you've got water. Make sure you've got food. Make sure if your cell phone's not charged, make sure you have a charger. I mean, just like
it's like the little Green Man Festival
stuff. Oh my gosh!
Remember that in Hopkinsville?
And it was real.
Yeah, that's just like the little
like what could possibly even if power goes out. Like, it's going to come back on in a matter of 4 minutes.
But the aliens could take advantage of the fact that we're in a shadow and all of us that are in the path will get abducted. Who knows?
Hopefully my life insurance company holds up their end of the bargain and they just pay.
Is alien abduction
But it would
covered?
Be a force of nature. It may not.
Yes. Yes. Oh, man. So we'll see what all happens. Hopefully we talk to you tomorrow night and be here for episode 75. But it's been a pleasure working with everybody that's joined this Eclipse planning session. Like Gary, Teresa, shout out to them again just quickly before we wrap, because they've taken their son Flash on this, committed to the camper. I mean, there's been a ton of work that's gone into like all of this, and to see it hopefully come to fruition tomorrow is going to be a huge accomplishment and also really exciting.
It will be fun to see Flash's reaction.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be.
He's been having fun with us.
He's gonna have so much fun.
We're out today throwing the football around and having fun. I saw him and Teresa were out with the lacrosse sticks throwing the ball back and forth.
And he's playing with the other campground kids here.
We rolled in here and he's out putt golfing and everything. But I don't think he. And I don't honestly have an appreciation for what we're going to experience tomorrow. And I think I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody's minds blown.
I liked his comment in the last episode. I want to see the sun get mooned.
I want to see the sun get mooned. And one final shout out to Julia and Jen, who are coming down tomorrow to witness totality.
Oh, yeah.
So they are coming down on a whim in a way. I mean, they talked about it a little bit at the totality event on Thursday. If where we ended up was in somewhat close proximity to Grand Rapids, they were going to make the game time call and come down. So they're going to come down. Finn and Sox will be here. We'll have some dogs.
They are true eclipse chasers now.
Yes. They are truly chasing eclipses.
Your kids are going to see totality.
And my mom was funny. She was like, "Do you think the dogs will be okay?" And I was like, "What do you mean?
We're gonna make him stare at the sun."
I thought she meant like with the travel or something. And I was like, "Yeah, what do you mean?" She's like, "Well, because she's seeing all this stuff about protect your eyes, wear your eclipse glasses." And I was like, "Mom, the dogs aren't driven to look up at this like we are." it was a cute comment from my mom. She's just gotten into it too with everything, and they're gonna see in Oxford, Michigan, on the east side of the state of Michigan, 97.8% totality.
Yeah,
it's really,
really close.
It's going to get
almost the diamond ring.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. Getting very close. So those of our friends that are in Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo. And
they've got a clear day.
They have a clear day, it looks like.
And mom back at home.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're in the Grand Rapids area and you hear this before totality tomorrow or before 3 o'clock tomorrow, get over to Speciation Ales.
Yeah.
Get a beer. Throw on some Eclipse glasses.
2 to 4 p.m.
Yeah.
Eclipse Happy Hour and Totality Tour Ale, our beer collaboration project with them, which we released on Thursday. We have a full case of it to share with people that are here tomorrow, maybe around our campground. But at least with us, we'll be having it for sure. And
trying to keep that on the DL.
Yeah, we'll keep it on the DL. And it'll be great. But back to Speciation, if you're there from 2 to 4, it's $2 off Totality Tour pours.
Ooh,
so
nice.
It's like an Eclipse happy hour.
Nice.
And so get over there if you're in Grand Rapids and watch at what will be a 94% totality there, which is still
so cool to see them get on board and be opening from 2 to 4 just for this event.
They are typically closed on Mondays and they're opening their doors. for tow.
Kudos, Mitch, Ward, the whole crew there.
Absolutely. So cheers to everyone. We'll go ahead and end episode 74 here, the pre-eclipse, the final, the penultimate, the eve
final
of.
Countdown.
With a Berg?
With a Berg, yes.
Yes.
And so I was going to say, it's not a Berg break necessarily, but it's a Berg, we'll talk to you
overnighter.
Tomorrow. Yep, it's a Berg overnighter. And so thanks for being with us and listening in, and tomorrow is Totality Day. Cheers.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.